What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. We're out west, Ashburn, VA. Brian and I are out here for Commanders training camp in advance of Monday night's game against the Bengals. Good morning, B.
What up, brother? I'm chilling. How you doing?
I'm good. You were missed yesterday. How was
Was I?
Yeah, people asked me where you were. I was like, he's got an event.
I was chilling. I was eating wings. Landfill, you would have loved it.
How many wings did you put down yesterday?
I had – each company gave us two wings, so 20 wings.
Oh, that's not what I – so this was like a serious competition, yeah. Not like I'm going to eat 100 wings and hang out.
No, it was like they gave me 20 wings, and then they had beer and wine, and, yeah, it was good. Good place.
That's great. Who won? I forgot the name of it?
I forgot the name of the damn company, man. And I know that I knew I was going to get asked that question.
Well, congrats
to them.
But
they were damn good. Their wings were good.
I went to an event last night, Haymakers for Hope, where these folks were boxing and raised a ton of money for various.
Did you get in?
I did not.
You should have.
No, I'm good.
We want to see your face get beat in.
I was good with my location up on the. I'd never been up. So we just bought like general admission tickets at the Anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And I was all the way up on the third floor, I guess. And it was still, like, a great view. It was a lot of fun. My boy Coley fought really hard. It was a good fight. A lot of these fights are good. A lot of these people, I feel like, are really stepping out of their comfort zone to go fight. We enjoyed it. I had never been, before we went into the Anthem, you know how there's that, like, outdoor, like, margarita bar?
Yeah.
Have you been in there?
Yeah.
I'd never been in there. That place was pretty cool.
Real good.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good, fun night. Got home, watched some football, and Brian, I need to report something.
What's the report?
Aaron Rodgers looks pretty good.
He did last night.
Yo, like, he started to look like himself again.
He did. He did look good last night. And then again, it was the Patriots.
Well, dude, it we're going to have to get used to it, but the Pats are cooked. Like, that offensive line last night, I mean, Brissett. Finished the game 12 of 18 for 98 yards. I'm curious how many sacks they had. Like, I mean, the Jets defense, oh my God. Have you looked at these numbers?
I saw Jacoby last night, 89 yards, 97 yards passing.
Yeah, no, but the sack numbers.
No, I didn't see that. All I know, I saw Wichkow come in the game, almost throwing an interception, and then got smashed in the face.
How many sacks do you think they had last night?
Nine.
Seven.
Okay.
And, I mean, the QB hits, I can't even add that number up while I'm on the air. I mean, the hits has to
you can't add that up if you were off the air.
Up over 10.
Let's be real.
You know, I picked the Jets to win the Super Bowl. It's one of the more outlandish things I've done. I generally
– It's not happening, though.
That team last night was pretty damn good.
The Bengals a bad team.
Yo, the other running back they have, the kid Braylon Allen, the rookie – that's a hell of a 1-2 punch. He's an athlete, dude.
That's the big number zero. Number zero, dude.
Yeah. Because Breece Hall, I think, where it's 20.
Mm-hmm.
May came in, was 4 of 8 in mop up duty. You think that's a right spot to put him in?
Well,
because I think Jacoby honestly needed a break.
You have to eventually put him in, and I think everyone still wants everybody in football to be in bubble wrap, but hell, you're going to be in the physical game. You got to get in there at some point.
I'm not saying bubble wrap, but I'm just like.
But still, you put him in the game and say, hey, we want you to get rid of the ball quick. Eventually, you got to do it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you know that the plan is to eventually play him. I'm just saying, he goes in the game.
He got smashed in the face.
He got smashed. I think they were down. All right, so he comes in the fourth quarter, and they're down 24-6. I guess it's a really low-pressure situation. Like, what are you hoping to get out of him? Mm. There was a moment, and I had people texting me this last night, because I think the Pats had a reasonable drive going late in that game before he took another sack. So they had a 1st and 10 from the Jets 22. And people are like, oh, my God, is Drake May going to be the one? And then they had 1st and goal from the 7. And then he took a sack, and then the game ended.
Yeah.
But people are like, is Drake May going to be the first rookie to throw for a touchdown? Because Caleb hasn't done it, Jaden hasn't done it, Bo Nix hasn't done it.
If he had been, does that change up what's going on?
I don't care.
I mean, like, It's like that would be people out there. If he threw it, then they would be trying to put him up top real quick.
Right.
And I would just tell them to take a one finger salute and keep moving.
Right. Now, we did a thing yesterday that I think was actually more relevant and more interesting, that the first rookie quarterback to 5 passing touchdowns, I kind of care more about. Because that shows that you're doing something consistent.
5 overall, you mean?
5 passing touchdowns. Yeah. Nick's and Jaden have both scored on the ground, but nobody has a passing touchdown yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, one, if you throw 5 in a single game, you had a hell of a game.
Hell of a game.
But, two, the odds are that's going to be over 3 games probably at the current rate.
Possibly.
And I just thought that was more relevant than whoever gets the first one. I doubt this made your radar yesterday, but did you hear Mel Kiper freaking out about the use of 2 high safeties in the NFL?
Nope. He's mad at that?
He wants to ban it. He wants to ban it.
See, this is my problem with
because passing numbers are down.
First of all, they've been using 2 high safeties. Okay?
Like, Tampa 2 was made legendary.
But eventually...
Weren't they doing that when you were playing?
The offense got to figure something out.
Right.
This is the problem I have with football altogether. I've been an offensive player my whole damn life. Why is it that we got to handcuff the defense all the damn time? If they start to figure it out, let the offensive coaches figure it out. Because based off of what Mel Kiper is losing his mind over, and most of the NFL, most of the offensive coaches are not that damn good, and the rules have been made to make them have that advantage.
I mean, the passing numbers are way down. Through 2 weeks, passing touchdowns are almost
half. So is football just for to get passing touchdowns? Is football about winning? Show me who's the best out there.
Here's where I land. Listen, it's our job. It's our profession. You did it at the highest level for a long time. Eventually, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame. Like, have you enjoyed football any less?
I enjoy the hell out of it.
Yeah, dude.
But the problem,
I don't understand the consternation.
I despise the mindset that office is only supposed to be good.
Right. I'm with you.
I despise that. You know, and this is the problem, like, we have guys that played the game that are commentators, and you listen to them commentate, it's like they have an agenda. I mean, dude, get the hell out the way, let the people play, and the best team wins. We can't say, oh, they're catching up with them, let's give them another advantage. To hell with that. People were throwing touchdowns on the Tampa 2 and 2-man deep all the time. Now you got to get back to utilizing that. They had started running high safety and man-to-man so much, it's easier. But now you got to think a little bit more. You can figure it out because, let's be real, those safeties got a whole half of the field. All you got to do is get somebody crossing one of them, facing somebody else coming around. You can still throw touchdowns.
Totally. A lot of it is, I think offenses are now so focused on controlling everything, and as they've gotten away from the run, a lot of these passes are at or near the line of scrimmage, and everybody's so focused on completion percentage and efficiency numbers that, like, a lot of just taking a deep shot just it has been play called out.
It's play called out, but like, the thing I watch Miami. I was watching Kansas City. They do this all day.
The crossers.
And if you throw a crossing route to Xavier Worthy or to Tyreek, and they catch it at 18 and they run another 60 or 45, whatever hell you want to run, does that make it any less exciting?
I mean, honestly, one of the best.
Mel Kiper need to be quiet. A lot of coaches don't respect him anyway. A lot of front office people don't respect him.
Remember that
famous
clip?
Because he thinks he knows every damn thing. He better shut up for all the defensive coaches hate him.
There was that famous clip. This is had to be 25 years.
About Mel Kiper not – did anybody hire him yet?
No, the whoever the Colts GM way back then was, he said, who the hell is Mel Kiper? But remember when Deshaun was here, how good he was on those long crossers?
Yeah.
Like – speed is speed, and you can use it horizontally to still get open and then go vertical.
When a quarterback drops back and he sees color, he normally goes away from that receiver, right? When he sees opposing color.
Right.
When the opposing color crosses a safety face, he normally hesitates a little bit. And if you're smart enough to draw up a thing where the opposing color goes across that safety fifth, he hesitates just a little, and you got somebody doing this, or you got somebody coming here, you still can get it done.
Right, you can still go backside vertical on away from where the crossers
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
So, and if I can send two, I can send one up the numbers, a little bit outside the numbers, one up the hash, that safety has to decide on one of them, right?
I think more so than anything is the cyclical nature of the quarterback position. And I think there's just like not the amount of star quarterbacks that existed for 10, 15 years. And these younger guys will evolve and maybe become that. Or they won't, but like that's just where
I think it's
are.
Also where we are so vanilla in preseason, and then we automatically assume that they're going to just drop it and everything's going to work once the season starts. It doesn't, and the offenses are so complicated today. It takes a little more time.
Right.
Defense. What do you normally have to do as a defensive player? Put your hand in the ground and rush the damn the
sure.
passer. You know that's what they normally do.
You can dress it up a million ways, but that's the
that's
number
basically
one
what they
thing
do.
To do. Right.
But the offense, they got all this movement and all this stuff, and that takes a little time to come together to be very, very fluid.
Well, I also think you look at last week. Bucks Lions was a hell of a football game between mm-hmm. two very good teams. The final score was 20-16. You want to say that's low scoring, fine, but it doesn't make it not a good game. You know, like, I think, honestly, Commanders-Giants, not a lot of touchdowns in that game, but if you were just a football fan mm-hmm. that didn't identify with a team, you just, hey, I like football, and you get dropped in Northwest Stadium to watch that game,
mm-hmm.
it was an entertaining game. It was back and forth. There was a lot of action.
Listen, man,
down to the wire. Like
the
Bengals, Chiefs.
The fans sitting in the stands.
Game.
The fans sitting in the stands had no less excitement. It's these damn people that they want to present it to how they want it to be so they can say, oh, look what I did. If it's about the fan participation and fan entertainment, fans enjoyed it. They're enjoying football still.
The difference, perhaps, is as they have grown the game to become this fantasy DFS gambling, anytime.
The gambling
touchdown.
Is fine.
Like but, all that stuff. Like that.
Don't
market,
make fantasy more important than a damn actual game.
Sure, but that those are the people that are probably frustrated. Honestly, the people that have come into it.
But
that
let's be real. If they those are the people that are frustrated. The people that you're competing against are dealing with the same situations, right? So if you have a scoring more points, maybe you'd be getting your ass kicked still. If you're getting your ass kicked now,
right.
You'll still be getting your ass kicked, right?
Yeah.
Come on, man. We got to – listen, the problem I've always had a problem with, we always are trying to change up stuff for the person that's the least interested in the actual game.
Squeaky wheels.
We got to stop that.
Yeah. I think – I'd argue that's the problem with society as
that's
a
what
whole,
I'm saying.
Is that like – Yo, I think
just because a person is loud don't mean they're the majority now.
80% of the world sees things pretty damn similarly, and yet we let the 10% on either fringe dictate terms for everybody else.
To hell with them.
Some news. Let's start with the stream is up and running. Shout out to Jeff. YouTube.com/1067TheFan, maybe. If you want to watch the stream, we're there. Our guy that is a very active listener, Sir Titus Jones, I think it's Titus is his mm-hmm. first name, heading to the hospital, baby boy on the way.
Congratulations,
congrats,
Titus.
Congrats, man. That's awesome.
The winner of the wing thing was Ghosted Concepts.
Ghosted Concepts.
There you go.
We're available if you want to drop some off in Akron.
We'll take the concept.
More news.
Don't ghost us, though.
Breaking news on the fan. You ready for this? It appears today is the day we are celebrating Chris Russell.
This coffee is like sludge.
Yo, you keep going to that Starbucks and
no,
you keep saying
it's
that
a totally different
coffee
one.
Sucks.
No. I didn't say it sucks. It's this one is thicker because they added an extra shot of the espresso in there.
That's just what we need is you with extra shots
yeah,
of espresso.
Yeah. It's a totally different Starbucks, though. I didn't go to the one by the house.
Okay. Today is Chris Russell's birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Roos. You can take any of the food you want out of the refrigerator.
Especially if Jeff's name's on it. However,
take the one that don't have a name on it, like it's yours.
However, I have somewhere between sad, bad, perplexing news specific to Chris Russell.
We'll take it.
We all
if it's bad, Landfill will love it.
Well, Landfill, perhaps I need to hear from you on this then. Per Chris Russell. So this is not per source. This is from the source. Rooster says Now, we all know when he's wearing his burgundy shirt at the office what that's about,
yeah,
right?
Special night.
He says he threw that shirt out.
Oh.
I don't know what the hell that means.
Well, he must have a new shirt now because something happened in a new color.
Maybe he's becoming a priest.
Now, that right there, that'll be the day.
Perhaps.
Why he threw his shirt out? Oh, he's trying to deceive people now. He don't want to wear the burgundy shirt anymore because every time he wears it, I'm sure people are, like, even out in the public are saying, "Yo, burgundy shirt, Bruce." Woo-hoo!
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Well, Bruce, text us and let us know why you're getting rid of the shirt.
Let's all make a guess why Bruce got rid of his burgundy shirt. Landfill, are you officially in the building saying he's converting to priesthood?
Yes.
Okay, that's one theory.
I think his lady has another favorite color, so he's going to wear that color.
Okay, B. Mitch is voting new favorite color. Jeff, do you have a guess why Chris Russell's throwing away his favorite burgundy shirt that only means one thing?
He definitely got another shirt. He must have. and you know what it was? He got the best-looking lady he ever seen in his life. He bagged her and I wouldn't be surprised if it was like turquoise. He
done changed to a Miami Dolphins.
No, I know what it was.
He's coming in like Charlotte Hornets.
So Rooster for his birthday, I'm not sure if it was Matt Essick, but they got him a vest, like a Stone Cold Stunner vest.
Oh, he's going to start wearing the vest now. Uh-oh.
I told him, I said, Rooster, you got to wear that with no shirt under it. Like, you just got to put the vest on.
Now, that's a picture I can't wait to see.
But the thing was... He looked at me like, no, I ain't going to do that. But you know when somebody say they're not going to do something and then they
his wheels were turning.
Oh, yeah, he did it last night.
He was like, yeah. He went in the mirror last night, babe, what you think? What
probably
you think?
In the sleaziest of
bars, too. That's going to be his new thing. Yeah.
All right, well, listen.
That's a good guess there, Jeff.
B-Mitch and I are out in Ashburn, so Jeff and Landfill, we're going to need you guys to investigate what exactly is going on with Chris, and we want to wish him.
If he walks in there with that damn vest on today.
We also want to wish Rooster a very happy birthday.
If you don't walk in with that vest on today or that burgundy shirt, that's a weird birthday.
All right.
You're supposed to bring your birthday in with a bang, brother.
We have a packed show. Maryland Governor Wes Moore will join us at 11:15 to make his picks. Charlie Goldsmith from the Cincinnati Inquirer will join us at high noon. Get us all the way up to date on the Bengals, including if T. Higgins is going to be back on the field. Kevin Harlan joining us at 1 o'clock. Really excited to talk to Kevin, one of the absolute best play-by-play guys across the country. Coming up next, I am making time for this. Shohei, what he's doing, listen, we are a football show.
The man is unbelievable.
We are a football show. I don't pretend not to be. Shohei hit three jacks last night to go over 50-50. Baseball's coming down to the wire. Sadly, my Orioles are kind of falling apart. Mike Beasley joins us next. Baseball recap, getting us ready for October, baby. Nobody go anywhere. You know what I hate, Brian?
What's that?
I get a billion emails, right, from these, like, accounts. Like if I have a Target account and you email me and then I click that I want to buy something, don't make me log in. You're reaching out to me. Just let me in. Bill Gates, Donald Trump, let me in. That's a little Nelly for you. All right, Mike Beasley's going to join us in moments. Bees is the biggest seam head I know. I need a baseball update. We got October baseball starts next week, right?
Yeah. All right. That's when October starts next week.
Right. Bees, how about...
Week after next.
Let's start with Shohei, dude. How unprecedented is what Shohei Ohtani is doing?
You'll never see it ever again in baseball, ever. You'll never see that again. I mean, no one's going to get to 50-50. I mean, not too many guys match up with power and speed, and he's got them both. I mean, he's just a phenomenal athlete, and it's a pleasure to see something like that happen. So, and lucky me, I've got a Shohei Ohtani signed ball, so, hey, I'm happy.
That's pretty good.
Has he pitched his last ball?
No, he's going to pitch, too. He'll come back and pitch as well. So, in fact, you might even see him in the playoffs. They've kind of put him in the bullpen a couple times to see if he's ready. I don't think, from what I'm hearing, I don't think he's 100% ready. But I wouldn't be surprised if he came out in a game that was a necessity and threw an inning of in relief. So I definitely wouldn't take that as a picture. Crazy.
51 homers, 51 steals, and he might pitch in October. I mean, it's just nuts.
It is.
All right, let's go around the league. The Yankees have clinched. The Guardians have clinched. Have they clinched a division or just a playoff spot?
They just clinched the playoff spot.
Okay.
I believe. No, you know what I tell you? Because Minnesota and Detroit, Kansas City, they got four teams that are, I mean, that's by far the best division right now in baseball, except for, I think, the National League West, where you got three teams that have been absolutely obliterating the ball since the All-Star break, which is the Padres, the D-backs, and the Dodgers. Notably, the D-backs have been the best-hitting team in baseball since the All-Star break. But when it comes to the American League Central, I want to say that, let me take a look at my notes here, but Cleveland, I think they're already there. I like what they're doing. I kind of think the Twins are going to fall off. I think they won yesterday. But all in all, I like the Royals. I like Detroit to get in there. Detroit's the hottest team in baseball over the last 2 weeks. So
when did Detroit get good?
I mean, like when did Kansas City get good?
Kansas City has Bobby Witt, who's just
they ain't always stud. Been good. They were bad for a long time.
Yeah, well, you know, they've been bad for a long time. But if you look at their rotation's strong. They got this Reagans and Lugo and Singer and Walker. You know, they got Marsh and Lorenz on the backside if you want to go five or six deep with that team. But they got four solid pitchers when it comes to with the Kansas City Royals. And, of course, they've got Bobby Webb, you know. And don't forget about Salvador, because that's a big hitting machine, that old boy. It seems like he's one of the best.
I can't believe that dude is still playing at such a high level. I had him in fantasy baseball when I was, like, 24, I feel like.
He's at a size right now where you can pick him up as a defensive end. he can play football. He's so big, this guy.
All right, Bees.
The beauty is too, you got the in that same American League Central, you have the Chicago White Sox that are currently 36-117, three games from tying the 120 game most losses in a season. They've got nine games left. They've got only three games at home. Not like it matters for this team. They're such a unfortunately bad team that they've got three home games and and six away. But they play two teams that are both in the pennant race, so I feel real bad for the Chicago White Sox. I predict those guys to go to lose 123 games. So
hold on, Brian.
That's a lot of games, man.
B, there's a week left of baseball. How many wins? I just looked this up. This is astounding. How many wins do you think the White Sox have right now?
31.
36.
Damn.
They're 36 and 117.
He just told us that, bro.
Damn.
Well, you say you pick them to win 100. Do you pick them to lose 123? So I was going away from that, Bees.
Yeah, so out of the last nine games, I think they go 3-6 is what my guess is. Unfortunately, they're playing teams. Their run differential for the year is they've lost games. They've given up 313 more runs than what they actually have scored. So they've given up 786 runs. Oh, and look at the teams that are winning, right? You got the Brewers, the Phillies, the Yanks. I mean, they're looking on the positive side of plus 135. The Brewers has the biggest run differential. And you got the Phillies right behind them at 118. But those are the teams that have been winning. But, I mean, I say that because it's such a small number, right? You've got 152 games in, and they've only, you know, outscored their opponents by 135 runs. Yet on the losing side, you got a team that has given up 313 more runs than what they've actually scored. It's just one of the worst things I've seen in baseball.
See, they need to make it like soccer and then move them down.
Relegate them.
Yeah, they need to be relegated.
Move up the Charlotte Knights or something.
Go ahead. What's your next question? I got you. Do you know how to calculate the magic number?
That sounds like a myth to me. Now, let's talk Baltimore baseball, okay? The Orioles have been leaking oil now for seemingly 2 months. They are five games clear in the wild card. There's no chance they're catching the Yankees now. But they got the Tigers coming to town who are red hot. Like, tell me they're in the playoffs, Bees. Like, I can't deal with this sort of epic collapse that could.
So until Santander, I tripled his name there right there.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for him last night in that two-run homer in the bottom of the ninth inning, this team was really going to be shelled out. I mean, I still have them kind of finishing fifth. I think they're going to get it overtaken by the Royals, and I think Detroit's going to be the number six seed. And I think it's the Royals at Baltimore for the 4-5, and that's it's a bad thing. But Orioles have just really fallen off the table. You know, they're 27 and 29 since the All-Star break, and they're just not running good. I mean, but they do. I think they have a decent
so many injuries
schedule up. Yeah, finish on the road. They got 3 against New York and 3 against the Twins. I think their magic number is 5, I think, for them to go ahead and clinch the playoffs.
But dude, they got 3 against the Tigers, 3 against the Yanks, 3 against the Twins. I mean, the Tigers and the Twins, they're all fighting for that same.
All three teams are fighting for it. I mean, not the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know, the Yankees could, but the Yankees are still kind of fighting to make sure they get the number one seed. And that's what I like about baseball, because it really does have some value and some merit. You know, get some that extra time off, which seems to have been hurting in the last couple of years when it comes to these teams. The ones and the twos have been getting knocked off a little bit. So, you know, I like these 3-6 seeds to come up and do something. I think you get some decent odds on it. I took Kansas City a while back at 11-1, and, you know, they're playing just good baseball right now. I just like their lineup. I mean, it's a, you know, and you look at the lineup for Cleveland, you got and this is what it says when it comes to Cleveland. They got a great record. They can't take away from them. I don't know how they got a great record, because you don't know anyone on their team. I mean, look at the
really good. What happened to the Orioles, though, man?
Take it easy.
Because in the beginning of the year, everybody was like, oh, you see, they did it right, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden now they're leaking a lot of oil.
B, you're correct, man. But you look at their lineup and what they're hitting compared to what they started off with. You look at the first of the season, you see everyone kind of hitting 275 plus. Now you're trying to find someone that's even close to 275. You know, Holiday hasn't done what he was supposed to. I mean, I think he's still hitting a .170 or something like that. Mullins is hitting .227. Santander is hitting .236. You can't win ball games when you're hitting under .250, and with too many pivotal pieces of the lineup, you know, not doing anything. So it's really a shame they're putting too much. I mean, Gunnar Henderson having a still good year. I want to say he's hitting .278, .279. That's a great year, but he can't do it by himself. And I think if they can get that team dynamic back together, I think they got a chance to make a good run. I kind of like Baltimore falling off right now a little bit. If they can pick it up the last 4 or 5 games of the season, that'll be a team I can bet to win it all, because they do have the talent to do it. They definitely have the pitching to do it. I think they've got the hitters if they get all gelling together. But currently, they're just, you know, they're pigs right now. But if you want to talk about a division, but you take that National League West, they are just absolutely where's my stuff here? You know, Dodgers are 91 and 62. San Diego, I didn't check today's numbers, but 87 and 66. They're the first wild card right now, and they've got 3 games against the White Sox, so you got to figure that's an auto 3. You got 6 on the road against the Dodgers in Arizona, so they can truly put themselves in a better position. I mean, the Dodgers got lucky; they had a 3-game set with the Marlins just recently, even though they lost one of them. But I don't know what LA Dodgers have when it comes to pitching. You know, you got Yamamoto just came back. You got Knack, Flaherty, which is probably the best pitcher on their team, but they had to pick him up at the All-Star break or before the trade deadline. And Buehler, which hasn't done anything. They just released, they optioned Bobby Miller, they optioned Michael Grove. Glasnow's on the 60-day IR. This Dodger team's not as good as what people think. And if you look at you look through 1 through 4, that's all they really got. I mean, when it comes to hitting right now, except for my boy Miggy Rojas. I mean, he's the all-star of the team right now, hitting .275 or something like that.
All right, here's the deal, Bees. We're all, as a group of people, we're only allowed to root for one team in the American League, and that's the O's. In the National League, I will root for the Brewers. I will root for the Padres. That's who we're rooting for here. I'm okay with the Dodgers, but they just spend too much money, and so it's like.
But everybody spend money. If you
not
want to
like
win,
those dudes do.
Well, the Yankees did. That's why they got so many championships.
We're also not rooting for.
Maybe
them.
Everybody else should start spending some money instead of being cheap.
Bees, I got an idea for you. You love baseball. Brian and I are going to be in Arizona all next week. Why don't you come out there and go to Padres Diamondbacks next weekend? It would be pretty fun.
Oh, that'd be pretty sweet. Now, I do have a couple guys on the team I know are there. So if you do want to go to a game, I would definitely take it in. Their stadium is beautiful out there in Arizona.
I've never been. Maybe we'll do that,
beautiful.
B. Thank you, Bees. Appreciate you making time for us to get this up to speed.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
All right, brother. Later.
That's the official baseball reporter of the B. Mitch and Finley program, Mike Beasley, MGM National Harbor. Unfortunately, that job carries no financial or professional recognition.
Yeah.
What does
as does most jobs that we give to
that's
people.
That's true. What does carry a ton of recognition is where you should buy a car. And it's a pretty simple process. You should go to Orsman Automotive of Virginia.
Yes.
Brian and I have both been working with them. I don't know how long for you, B, but for me.
Been a long time, Jay.
I mean, close to 10 years. That's where I've been buying my cars, getting my cars serviced. There's just a level of professionalism that you don't always get in the car buying world that you get when you work with Orsman Automotive of Virginia. And a huge part of that is the Orsman Lifetime Edge.
It definitely is. The way that they treat you as well. But that Lifetime Edge gives you up to $1,500 in extras, including complimentary car washes with every scheduled maintenance, loan of cars with every major maintenance, and that lifetime engine guarantee. And it's more good news. When you try to sell a car, you want to get the top dollar for it. Orsman will give it to you. They pay up to 125% of the Kelley Blue Book value, regardless of his make, model, or year. It's very simple at Orsman. They like to keep their customers happy, just like JP and I. So take it from us. Two Beyond satisfies Orsman customers, and let's ride together.
Zach Ertz yesterday, limited in practice. They said just rest. So when people see the injury report, when they see the designation NIR, that means non-injury related.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, that means rest.
Rest.
Especially for a veteran player like Ertz that they've been
personal.
Yeah, yeah, something might come up, but for a guy like that, they've been really focused on managing his body.
When he's healthy, he's effective.
Dude, he was their leading receiver last week.
Yeah.
Quan Martin was on the injury report yesterday, limited with a hamstring. I talked to Quan after the game. I got zero indication after practice. I got zero indication that he won't be full go Monday night.
Yeah, but they in this day and age, guys are taking care of a lot.
Yeah.
So when they say rest, I just buy it because, you know, with all of these different things they use now, they tell you when the guy's getting close to this, that, or the other, and they take care of him. So I have no issue with it.
Yeah, and Quan popped on the injury report late last week, if you remember, and then played against the Giants, obviously. Benjamin St. Juice on the injury report, groin limited, something to watch.
Yeah.
Back out there today. I think they may have stumbled upon their best corner combination of St. Juice, Noah I, Samerstill in the slot. At least the best of what they got right now.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we're going to do. Quick break. Governor Moore is going to join us at 11:15. Charlie Goldsmith at noon. Nobody go anywhere.